Okay, today is the 25th January, 2018, Thursday class. So we can start the puja now, 10. So Suyan will choose two person to come forward to light the candle. Maybe one of them is the new one, Kok Lun. Yeah. Then the other one, the lady.
I did it last week.
Oh, you did it last week. Okay. Ah, Pauline, come. Yeah, Pauline. Oh, Andrian, Andrian did already. Pauline, come. You and Pauline, come forward. Help to light the candle and the incense. Okay, the rest of us can stand. Okay. We can start the puja. You can line up anywhere. Also, okay. Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu means rejoicing. Rejoicing with the goodness, generosity, and kindness of others. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Oh, put forward there. Sadhu. Put on the table. Yeah. Sadhu. Sadhu. The flower. Sadhu. 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 Just put here. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, thank you so much. Yeah? You all can be seated. Then we will compose our mind. Yeah? Develop the faith, sadhu. Then the virya, spiritual zeal. Yeah? Then mindfully, we shall commence the puja chanting. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Svakato bhagavata dhammo Dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant the Vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya macapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapa ditena, ditena tamadang sina, tiloka dipang sambuddhang, pujayami tamonodang. Ganna sambarayutena, dopena hang sugang hina, Pujaye pujaniyang tang, puja bhajana mutamang. Vanna ganda guno petang, etang kusuma santatin. Pujayami munindasa, siri pada sarorohe. Pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena matena cha hotu mokhang. Pupang malayati yata idang me Kayo tatayati vinasabhavang adivasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu no bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu no bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of all these puja offering significance. Significance of offering the light to the Buddha. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Then making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Then finally, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will now pay respect to Triple Gem. Badang Pujemi. Damang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can have half an hour silent or quiet meditation. We will off the light. Then I will give you some basic instruction. Oh, a few more coming. Okay, then we wait for a while. Okay. So in the meantime, maybe we can have some other type of sharing. So first of all, maybe I'd like to explain to new people what we did just now so that you understand. This chanting book is very useful. If you are new, you want a copy, you can just request from Sui An. Then I think he can give you a copy each. Are they the one? Oh, okay. So this chanting book will explain the meaning of all the things that we do. The Pali are what we chanted. Then beside the Pali is the English translation. So you will develop the understanding. What basically we did was we developed some puja chanting. So puja is the type of Buddhist devotional practice. When you practice devotion, you develop your faith. You strengthen your mind, because when you have faith, you don't have doubt. You are very calm, very composed, your mind. So puja has many advantages. This devotional practice has many advantages. It is a practice that the Buddha recommended before you start your religious service or sharing or even Dhamma discussion or meditation. You should develop some pre-puja. Pre-puja is to remind you of the teaching, develop the faith in you, so that when you understand the teaching, the significance of this teaching, and also who the Buddha is, how unique a being he is. He is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened. Means at that time when he arrived 2600 years ago, he was the wisest and the most virtuous human being or living being that ever arise during his time. So to have such a great being to be your teacher, you should have a lot of faith, a lot of gratitude. Then his teaching is very unique. He can transform your life, make you so beautiful. The most important thing is, he said, you come to this world with this understanding, you will not go through suffering. Nothing can make you unhappy and miserable. Then it can allow you to understand life so clearly, and you will know how to meditate to develop the peaceful mind, the silent mind, the quiet mind, the mind that is full of serenity, tranquility, stillness. And this mind has a lot of energy, a lot of sensitivity, a lot of clarity. It can allow you to understand many things. You can awaken to a lot of truth within nature. He called it the universal characteristics of nature. He said, this universe, everything that arises, they exhibit three very powerful universal characteristics. First, he said, there is this universal characteristics of impermanence, or we call it change. Everything is in a state of flux, he said, constantly changing, 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 and nothing stays still. Nothing stays like eternally the same. Even if you look at the world, you look at our body, every moment, every instant is changing. Eric, you are here. So they are waiting for you. That's why I have to explain a little bit about puja. But don't worry, listen to this. It's recorded, so no problem. Or your friend. Nice to meet you. You're most welcome. Come, join us. We just finished our puja, so I explained the significance of puja so that new people can understand. Those who just came in, listen to the recording again. Then you can develop understanding. So this universal characteristics of impermanence is inherent in all things. Then after that, the second universal characteristic is very important. The Buddha said, if you attach or cling on to any of these phenomena that arise in this world, you will develop what they call the universal characteristic of suffering, mental suffering, human suffering, misery. And this is very clear, because when you attach means you want things your way, which is not nature's way, because nature is very unique. The Buddha said nature is governed by certain nature's law. These nature's law, they are very, very universal. Two of them are scientific law, which the scientists develop a lot of understanding. That's why the last 40 years we progressed tremendously. They are nature's physical law and biological law. In Pali, the Buddha called it Uttaniyama and Vijjaniyama. The other three are spiritual law. These spiritual law are the law of karma, the law of mind, your mind, how you function as a human being, how your mind arises and passes away. So all these are taught under this law. Then the last one is the law of truth, Dhamma, universal truth. If you understand this spiritual law, you will be like a very, very wise person. Because the Buddha perfected the understanding of these three spiritual laws. That's why he is the foremost in wisdom within the spiritual field. Like the scientists, when they perfected the first two scientific laws, they progress very fast. They understand a lot of things. Then they can come up with all the design, the whatever research and development to perfect them, to improve on them. That's why nowadays we got everything that has transformed the way we live our life, especially the latest technological revolution. They call it the internet boom. So initially when we started, we have to go through the agricultural revolution where we need food to sustain the world's population. But then later on they realized food alone is not enough. You need job. So we had the industrial revolution. Then after the industrial revolution, they realized information technology is too slow. A lot of things cannot be developed fast enough. So they come out with the technological revolution. That's how our internet boom, all this scientific discovery, which has transformed the way we live our life, especially the last 10 years. And moving forward, we are going to progress even faster, maybe by the months, then later on by the day. So even in certain part of the world, especially China, every month things are different. Then you can see the real progress. So if you have this spiritual understanding, your mind also develops equally fast. And you can understand many, many things, especially the law of karma. So these are the things that we develop through all this puja activity. So this teaching is very unique in the sense that it not only let you understand life, it let you develop the understanding to transform yourself, to be a better human being, to change your life for the better, character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise, you become beautiful. Because this teaching is about spiritual law that governs life and existence. So you understand this spiritual law, you know how to live in accordance with this spiritual law, you don't make mistakes. Then your life becomes beautiful. Then all your problems can be resolved. They are never a problem. They are only problem when you deludedly cling, attach, and hold. Even to your thought process, you may think that the mind belongs to you, you own them. But when you really meditate, you will get a shock of your life. This mind is not what you think, because there are two minds inside there. One is the thinking mind, the mundane mind, or the worldly mind, the conditioned arising mind. That one is not you, not real. That one is for you to come to this world, to use it properly, appropriately. But if you use it wrongly, it will lead to misery, suffering. So if you use thought wrongly, what happens? If the user of thought is deluded, thought become wrong thought. When it's wrong thought, it will do evil thing. It will bring about wrong understanding that will condition your karmic negativity, that will cause your karmic nature to fall. Then the fruition of it is you are afflicted. You become miserable. Because what you do to the world, to people, they will come back to you in the form of fruition. You reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. So this is the nature's law. When you understand that, if you have goodness, kindness, generosity, gentleness, pleasantness, gratitude, and all this good virtue, these are your merits. Whatever you arise, it will become your inheritance, good karma. Then you inherit them. Then all the good conditions will come back to you. People will be kind to you, good to you, generous to you, caring towards you. But whatever you do, the opposite, they will also become your coming inheritance. Because the Buddha mentioned very clearly, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. If karma plays such a great role in your life, you must determine to take care of karma. Otherwise, you cannot blame people for what happened to you. Yeah. So this understanding is the first right view that the Buddha talked about. Right view with regards to this great law of karma, the spiritual law that governs all of life and existence. Okay, then I will maybe cut short the explanation of the puja. After that, the first thing we chant is salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha. This one the Buddha called it the triple gem. That's why we chant on the first page of the chanting book, Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. So the meaning you can read. Homage to thee, the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. So this one is to develop the faith and the salutation, which is a meritorious action. Like you pay respect to a great being. It is very, very meritorious. If you do it with understanding, faith, and sincerity, the merits that come from it is limitless, immeasurable. Then the second of the triple gem is the Dhamma. That's why Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Then Dhammang Namasami means this teaching so completely explained by the Buddha. I bow and pay respect to the teaching. Then the last one is the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, the third of the triple gem. He said, the blessed one's disciple who have practiced well, I pay my respect to the Sangha. Then after that, we chant the salutation to the Buddha. Namo Tassa, that one is homage to thee, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Then after that, we take refuge with the triple gem. First, second, third refuge. We chant it three times. Then this refuge will create affinity for us to, whenever we arise or we are born into this universe, we will have the condition to come into contact with the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha if they arise. Then after that, the next page, page 2, we renew our five precepts. You have to go back and read the English translation. These precepts are guidelines for you to avoid evil. Because the Buddha said people who violate this precept commit evil. They have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. You can go back and check on your own. Then the puja offering, all this you can read the meaning to develop the understanding. Like the first one, offering of light, page 3. With light brightly shining, abolishing the gloom means the darkness and the ignorance. I adore the enlightened one who dispelled the darkness or ignorance, means his teaching can liberate your mind, free the mind from darkness, from ignorance. Means not understanding the truth, the nature's law that governs life and existence. Then the significance of offering of perfume, smoke. With perfume, incense, make from fragrant substance, I honor the exalted one with your respect, who dispel the darkness of ignorance. So all this is to develop condition for you to have the wisdom. Then you offer a flower, the mass of flower, fresh and healed, fragrant and choice. I offer at the sacred lotus-like feet of the noble sage, means the Buddha. I offer the Lord Buddha this flower. May this virtue aid in my emancipation, means the enlightenment. Then our bodies undergo decay, even as this flower must fade. So it shows you the impermanent nature of all things. especially flower, very fast it will decay. Yeah? We call it ephemeral. Ephemeral means very fast they decay. But our body take longer. So you never see it decaying so fast until you get old. But if you are attentive, mindful, you will know as you go through life. Yeah? When you were born into this world, you were very naive, very beautiful kids. But as you grow up, you become more and more conditioned by what people teach you. Then you also inherit what your karma give you. That's why you become more naughty. Then after that, as you grow up further, your parents send you to kindergarten. Then you go to school. Then after that, you go uni, hopefully. Then you graduate, you come out to work. After you work, you strive so hard, you look for what? Happiness, money, financial freedom. Then you get yourself entangled with life, all the suffering, the misery that come with life. They follow you. If you don't develop the understanding of this teaching, you will get into trouble. So this is what life is all about. Then after that, you pass the what they call puberty age. Yeah? Then you start to grow old. Then they call it, sunset years, where you get old. As you get old, you get sick. You become more and more fragile. More and more problems will actually affect you. Because as you age, your senses fail you. Then as your senses fail you, your health also fail you, your organ also deteriorate. Then our body is like anything, even a car is the same. They are made of parts. And all these parts got wear and tear. The car at least wear and tear, you can change new parts. Unless yours is a very old model, where they can't find a spare part, nobody produce anymore, then you have problem. But our body is different now. You can't find spare part everywhere. No? You have to borrow people's part. No? But not everybody is going to lend you their part. No? So if you are lucky, maybe they are about to die, they preserve the organ, then they can donate to you. Otherwise, you can't. So you need to take care of your body, not to attach to it, but care for it, so that it will last you longer. Like you take care of your car, maintain it well. Don't overrun it, don't cause problem to it. Then when you need to service, you must service it so that it will last you long. It will have the ability to perform its function. Otherwise you will come across yourself having a lot of sickness, problem, even rheumatism and other things. So that is the aspect of life. So be mindful that this body will grow old, get sick and die. So don't be complacent. While you're still young, you still have the condition to develop the understanding of this teaching, develop the meditation, to develop the wisdom to free your mind. Do it before it's too late. My teacher used to tell me this story, which is very good. You listen. If your body can talk to you, you listen attentively. He will tell you this. He said, "Oh master," because you are the master, and you use this body. He said, "Oh master, harm me not." You know what is harm me not? Means don't harm me. Don't go and foolishly drown yourself in alcohol, liquor, drug, and all those things when you got problem. Then some people torture themselves with the wrong thought. They think and think until they become so depressed, so unhappy, so miserable. So this is harming yourself with all the wrong thought, which means you don't love yourself. So the body will say, "I'm only tissue and cells. Harm me not. Have me work for you, for the good of yourself and the many, before I am too old, too sick, and too fragile to help you to do anything else." How will you feel if your body talks to you that way? How will you feel? You feel shy. But you don't know how to make use of this body until he has to remind you. So can remember, "Oh master," he called you. He said, "Harm me not, for I'm only tissue and cells. So help me work for you, for the good of yourself and the many, before I'm too old, too weak, and too fragile to serve you. Yeah. Then because your consciousness trapped inside, you will become miserable when the body gets old. Yeah, everything that this body experiences, you become conscious of it. That's why when you got this disease, injury, sickness, sorrow, lamentation, misery, your consciousness is affected. That's how human mind suffers. So this is the part you have to understand. Then turn to the next page. Offering of water. He said, O Lord, the Blessed One, please accept the water as an offering to Thee. Out of great compassion for us. So this is how you develop the compassion within. Yeah? So that you sincerely offer this to the Buddha. Yeah? And this offering is offered out of great compassion for us living beings. So that we will have the merits and the support from all this goodness that we do, the offering. That offering of fruit is the same. O Lord, the Blessed One, please accept this fruit as an offering to Thee out of great compassion for us. Then the fruit also allows us to reflect and contemplate, like in our aspiration there. It reminds us of karmic friction, that you have to take care of karma. Then when you offer, it's a generosity, act of generosity, dana parami. All these are meritorious action, very virtuous. Then offering of food is the same. O Lord, the Blessed One, please accept this food as an offering to Thee out of great compassion for us. Then the significance of all this offering, you read yourself in the puja page, page 5, that will end the puja section. So this puja is devotional practice to develop the faith, the understanding, and develop all the wholesomeness, merits for us to make the necessary aspiration to help us to understand the teaching, to see the urgency, and to make use of all this understanding to help us progress along the path of Dhamma, which is the cultivation. Okay, now we can have meditation. We are off the light. You still got 20 minutes. I give you 20 minutes of meditation. So for those who are new, you listen. For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away start your meditation. For those who are new, I will give you some simple instruction. You just listen attentively. You don't have to remember anything. Because later on, for those who are new, I will give you some books. They are what they call transcript book. People have volunteered to transcribe what I spoke on this typical Thursday class, Tuesday class, and Sunday class. So some of this has been transcribed out and printed in book form for free distribution. So for this Thursday class, we have about, I think, two or three of these transcript books, which are very useful. If you read through them, you will understand what we do. You will understand the instruction that I give you. So now, relax body and mind, silent everything. Relax means don't think of anything, just free your mind. You are here to develop some form of meditation. Or you can say to de-stress and to recuperate from your tired day. So what you can do is just relax. When you relax, you are calm, you are peaceful. You no longer want to think of your problem. You are no longer stressful. You just silence everything and relax. Then whatever thought that arises, just let it arise. Don't be agitated by it. Because later on, as I explained, you will come to understand why you have thoughts. Your thoughts are respond to memories. And memories are all of your accumulation of experiences, good and bad, even in your daily life. As you go through life, you hold on to a lot of things, you cling on to a lot of things, you give importance to many things. And because you do it so often, so frequently, until it becomes a habitual tendency. So this habitual tendency creates a lot of memory where you accumulate all your problems, your experiences, your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, your unhappiness, your remorse, your envy, your jealousy, your hatred. Then sometimes your craving, your desire, all this you accumulate. Then thought is respond to all these accumulated memories. That's why this same thing that you hold on to and worry, you keep on coming out. Sometimes you think of your work's problem, your work situation. Then sometimes things that haunt you, that type of thought keep on coming to you, your fear, your worry, your anxiety. So all this create thought. And this thought, if you do not understand them, through delusion, you will cling, you will hold. Then you project them and create fear, worry, anxiety. And this is how a lot of people get into mental problem, become very, very depressed. And when they are afflicted by such situation, they find it very difficult to come out of it. Then they develop a lot of fear, unnecessary fear, worry, anxiety, and that affect their life, their ability to work properly, their efficiency. And because you are constantly being haunted by all these problems, so-called problems, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, unhappy mind state. So you seldom have joy, you seldom have peace. That's why they say peace is very difficult to come by. But this meditation can help you reverse all these things. Well, we are here just to relax body and mind, silence our mind, and develop the peaceful mind, the tranquility mind, the stillness of mind. So you just relax body and mind, silence everything. Make sure your backbone is straight. Then maintain attention. Just be attentive, silent, relax. Then close your eye. Maintain attention at your forehead. You just feel. Feel your forehead. Don't do anything, just feel. No more thinking. If there is any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just relax, relax and relax and feel it soothingly relax every aspect of your forehead. Your entire forehead muscles, just relax them all. Feel it soothingly relax. Then silence everything and sweep the mind down to your eye muscle. Again, feel and relax them all. Relax, relax and relax. Then you move it down to your facial muscle. Again, feel, relax. Each and every strand of your facial muscle, just feel, relax, relax, and relax. Then to assist you to relax further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you have joy. When you have joy, your facial muscle naturally relax by itself. Then after that, you can combine with loving kindness or metta to bring about inner well-being, because the mind sweeping method can bring about inner peace, inner calmness. Then this inner well-being is to make your mind happy, make your mind beautiful. Then you can radiate metta following what I do, starting with yourself. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel it. Feel that your entire body and mind is having this well-being and happiness. Each and every cells within, they have this joy, this happiness, this well-being. Then you continue. May I, this body and mind of mine too, be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it always keep itself happy and peaceful with right thought, with beautiful thoughts. May it too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel it, that there is no more suffering in you. Then may it too be free from all harm and danger. Then may there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your heart. Feel it. Feel the peacefulness, the calmness, the joy, the happiness. Then feel the love. When you have love, you are very beautiful. When you love, you just love. You are very kind, you are very generous. Then you are very loving in all aspects. Then we can send this same metta to our loved ones. We can radiate the same. May my loved ones, including my parents, all my good friends, my brothers and my sister, and all those who have good relationship with me, may my loved ones all too be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind states still be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May their body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can radiate this metta to all beings within this vicinity. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and all meditator, Dharma friends who are here meditating, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then finally, we will radiate to all beings throughout the entire universe. May all beings within the whole of Subang Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, our solar system, our galaxy, and all beings within the Milky Way, extending to the entire universe. May they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be without suffering, without any mental or physical suffering, free of all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they always keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. You can then come back to your facial muscle, feel relaxed. Feel it soothingly relax and silent everything. Then silently move your attention down to your neck. Feel, relax. Don't think, just feel, relax. Then feel your shoulder, relax. Shift it down to your hand, feel your hand, relax. Then back to shoulder. Then you move your attention down to your heart or chest area. Now this is a very important location within your body. This is where the heartbeat arises and passes away. This is where the seat of consciousness is. This is where the life force arises and passes away. And this life force is the one that pumps your heartbeat. And your heartbeat is your life force that gives you the karmic force to sustain your life. So you just silence everything and just feel around your chest area. You can detect your heartbeat or any vibration. You just silence everything and stay there. But if you are new, you are less sensitive because you have not trained your mind, so you cannot feel anything. But you can feel like you feel your forehead, your whole of your chest or heart area. If you can detect any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just silence everything and just relax into it. Feel it soothingly, relax, relax and relax. Then you sweep it down further to your stomach, feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Then to your leg, feel, relax. Then your buttock, feel, relax. Then you can sweep the whole of the mind sweeping method, reverse the order. From your buttock, you feel and you relax every part. Your leg, feel, relax. Then after that, you come back to your abdomen, silent, feel, relax. Then sweep it up to your stomach, feel, relax. Then your heart area, do the same. Silent everything and just feel and relax. Then move it up to your shoulder, relax. Neck, feel, relax. Then facial muscle, soothingly, attentively, just feel, relax them all. Then your eye muscle, do the same, just feel and relax them all. Then your forehead muscle, feel and relax. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Yeah. Your mind is more quiet, silent. You will have some form of inner peace and inner well-being. Then now you need to stabilize this peacefulness of mind, the calm mind, the quiet mind. So I will teach you another technique. We call it mindfulness of the in and out breath. Or in Pali it's called Anapanasati. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So Anapanasati is the training of the mind to be aware of the in and out breath. So now you feel your nostril, the breathing. Feel. Just stay there, silent everything and feel. Then your breathing, they will move in and out naturally. Then you just allow the mind, when it detects the breathing, to follow the breathing. Then like the instruction from the Buddha, he said, breathing in, we are aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. You continue to train this way. Every time you detect the breath, the mind and the breath move as one without thought. That is sati. That is mindfulness. So every time if you are new, the mind will wander off very fast. You find that it's difficult for you to maintain even for a short moment of this mindfulness. But don't worry. When you haven't trained, the untrained mind thinks a lot, wanders off very fast. So you patiently bring it back to the nostril. Feel, relax, and again, try. If you are patient, not long, you can develop it. Then when the mindfulness of in and out breath comes, you will experience a type of calmness, which they call piti. Piti is a spiritual peace, meditative calmness. Sometimes they call spiritual joy or spiritual rapture. You will feel very good and you like to meditate. Then you continue to relax into it and silent everything. Until this breathing becomes different again. It become like very quiet, very peaceful, and the breathing is like very long. The in and out breath is like very long, and you are fully aware and mindful and very calm. Then you relax into it. Whatever mind state that arises, relax into it. Then silence everything and maintain just the mindfulness, awareness, the quiet mind, the peaceful mind, the silent mind, in a state of relax and peace. Then this mind will transform. From piti, it will become sukhang or sukha. Sukha is a very blissful state of mind. You experience a lot of bliss within your entire body and mind. Then you continue to relax into it and train this mind until the mind becomes very quiet, very still, until the breathing becomes very subtle, like no more breathing. We call that basati. Basati is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind or the meditative mind. That is the mind you aim at. Then after that, your mind will enter sati and you will understand many things. You can use that mind to meditate. That mind is the meditative mind. Okay, I will stop the instruction here. Then I will allow you to meditate until the alarm is triggered off. Then you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Okay. For those who still wants to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then we can continue with our chanting. We will do the invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6. Page 6. Invocation to the devas. Today maybe I read to you all, so that you all can develop the understanding. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the devas or deity come here. Let them hear the good teaching or doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. So Nibbana is a Pali term, and Nibbana means the enlightened state, enlightenment. Then after that, we're supposed to chant the Pali. So we will chant the Pali. For those who know how to chant, you can follow. You don't know, you just listen attentively. Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditatbo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sakasango Samichi Patipano Bhagavato Sakasango Yadidang Chatari Purisa Yugani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakasango Ahuneyo, Pahuneyo, Dakineyo, Anjali Karaniyo, Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasapi. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect, Triple Gem. Vedang Pujami. Dhammang Pajemi. Sanghang Pajemi. Okay. You can just relax yourself, body and mind. Yeah? Then maintain some form of attention. Then we will continue with our second session. Second session is about meditation reporting. Followed by whatever question you have. You can ask me whatever question regarding the meditation. And also whatever question regarding the teaching. Then whatever question regarding how to make use of what you have learned here and the teaching to help you understand life and solve your problems in life, whatever you encounter, we can get it resolved for you. Then hopefully you develop the understanding, then you can become transformed and beautiful. Then when you have the capability to understand, you can help people too. So that's what the teaching is all about. It is meant to let living beings understand what is going on in this world. So what the Buddha teaches is very simple. He said, after long period of cultivation, meditation, he came to enlightenment, which he called the Great Enlightenment, that enabled him to understand clearly the secret of life, what life is all about. Then when you understand the secret of life, you know how to live life. Then this secret of life can explain to you all of life, not only the mundane aspect, but it includes the supramundane aspect. Means supramundane means the enlightened mind beyond the mundane world, which is the supramundane. Is it recording? Oh, good. Sometimes it happens because sometimes the memory is full, then stop recording, but the light is still on. So in the other classes we experience them, then sometimes they thought they pressed already, but it was not activated. So again, the light is there, but doesn't record. But never mind, whatever it is, if it's meant to be, it is meant to be. Not meant to be recorded, it will not be recorded. But if it's meant to be recorded, somehow a very funny thing happened. I remember during the olden days, when I was first invited to Vipassana Center, they have a place where they conduct their meditation or Dhamma class in section 17 above Kanan. I think some of you may know. During the olden time, we used the tape recorder. You know the tape, cassette tape. You know what happened? Very funny, There were incidences where that Dhamma, very important, when it was shared, somehow it was not recorded. Then, of course, those who cannot understand, they say, "Ayo, what a waste, not recorded." I say, "Never mind, let it be. When it's meant to be, it will be." Then one day, very funny, there was also another very good talk. So at first they thought it was not recorded. But actually it was recorded. I also don't know how it was recorded. That tape, after a long time, it slowed down one. Because I think the machine, like wear and tear, the motor, not much strength. So it pulled very slowly. So when they on the tape, wow, it's like a machine gun, because the recording was slowed down. So the speech was normal. So again, the last 45 minutes, very important one, they can't listen correctly. So what happened was, some of them who don't understand, they develop a lot of unhappiness. Then later I tell them, don't worry. Yeah, don't worry. Then one day, somebody came and told me, they got a machine that can slow down the recording. It's meant for editing, for people to do the transcript. So now different, now in the computer, you can pause, you can do a lot of things. Last time cannot, last time listen halfway, you have to off here, pop, let it jump out. Then after that, press again. Then the speed you cannot change. But he bought this thing, the speed can change. So we were able to actually re-record it by putting in that slower speed. Then the thing came out beautiful. Then somebody volunteered and transcribed it. So the whole thing still come out. That's why I say, if it's meant to be, it will be. Mm. So let nature take its course. Don't worry about all those things. Okay, coming back to our second session. Anybody wants to report your meditation, you just raise your hand. Then we will pass the... Where's the recorder? Oh, there. We will pass it to you. You just have to report exactly how you feel during the meditation, whatever you experience. Then you have been meditating before. If you want to understand anything, you can ask. Then for those who are new, after I give you some very useful books, you read through, you will understand. Anybody? Yeah. What about Eric's friend? Are you all okay? Yeah. How you feel today? Yeah. Correct. A lot of thought. A lot of thinking. Sleepy. Very good. That is one of the five mental hindrances. After I will explain. Yeah. It's very common for you. Yes. Give to Eric. Pass the mic to Eric. Pass the mic to Eric.
Hello.
Oh.
Hello.
Cannot. Oh, didn't honor. On already.
Hello.
Yes. Now we can hear you. Good.
I felt that I can't sit still because I felt leg a bit itchy.
Good.
And scratch here a bit.
Yeah. So what you do? You move your hand to scratch.
Then my backbone cannot be straight.
I know. We are sloth after a while. So what do you do?
But you
have a few ways to do it. Okay, you off the thing I explained to you. I will explain yours later. You see, when you feel itchy, your consciousness will detect it. You understand? You know what is consciousness? When you become conscious, like your eye, when you see something, you become conscious of what you see. So your itchiness, you become conscious of what you feel, isn't it? That is called tactile consciousness. Your body has the ability to feel, to sense. Understand not? Itchiness, numbness, then sometimes blissful state of mind, calmness. You can have that feeling. You can sense it through your physical body. Yeah, this is one of the senses. They call it tactile or touch. Touch consciousness, tactile. So when you sense it, it's the thought that condition you to do something because you don't like that type of feeling. Correct or not? You're itchy. Most of the time, you are not forced to sit. You will just go and scratch. Then it's gone. But now, everybody sits still. You don't know what is going on. You think everybody sits still, I must also sit still. So the key to understanding meditation is you must do it with understanding. Don't be gullible. Understand? I always tell meditator, you don't come here to torture yourself. Understand? Torture means what? Make yourself miserable. Understand? So itchy also dare not scratch. Sometimes you want to fart also dare not fart. You scared, paisei, irritate people and all those things. So if you don't understand, you have this fear. And this is fear, you understand or not? subtle, but you cannot see. Yeah, these are the things that condition you to have that type of emotion. Then this one you accumulate in your memory. That's how you become problem. So what you should understand is, when I come here to meditate, I'm here to train my mind to relax, to experience peace, calmness, stillness, so that my true mind can arise. That's why I mentioned, when thought arise, let it arise. Don't worry. So if you are silent and mindful, you will not be aware of all this itchiness and all those things. But because you are not really aware, you are not able to develop the silence, the peacefulness. So this itchiness takes over, and then it becomes more prominent. It becomes a more prominent sense object. So this one distracts you already. Means you are not silent in the meditative state. You become preoccupied with what the thought is conditioning you. You can follow. This one, like, disturb you already. Itchy. What to do? Scratch or not to scratch? Yeah. Then finally, you decide to scratch. You are too itchy already. Understand? But what you should do is, even if you want to scratch, be mindful, be aware. Understand not? That this is what the thought has conditioned you to do. Then you tell the thought. Because the thought, you know what is thought, isn't it? I explained just now that thought is respond to memory. And what are memory? Memories are your accumulation of experiences, good and bad, everything you accumulate. So this one, this thought arrives because the tactile consciousness conditions you. A true memory, you already label it as itchiness, something you don't like. This is also a mental hindrance. We have to find the chart. I will, after that, tie in with your sleepiness. These are all mental hindrances. When you are in this state of mind, one first. When you are in this state of mind, it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why you cannot meditate. So, sloth and torpor is sleepiness of mind. Okay? That is what happened. You doze off. They want to sleep. But later on, I think you become alert again. Yeah? Because the energy helps you. The collective energy helps you. When you allow it to be, you don't go and worry about it or try to fight it or suppress it. It will come back to you. The sati will take over. Because you got no more ill will. But when you dislike the sleepiness, or you dislike what they call the itchiness, all these are sensation. Okay? So it will arise, the ill will, the dislike. When you have aversion towards that sensation or that phenomenon of sleepiness, or even when your mind think a lot, which last time when Eric came, he realized he cannot meditate because a lot of thought going on. I asked him, can you be aware of the thought? What thought? He said, yes, a lot to do with the office and those that he gave meaning to, unresolved problem. So this thought will keep on coming. Like you have a problem. You sit down, you cannot meditate, the problem keep on coming to you. Something that you have to resolve on. And that one is very strong attachment. So these are mind state that the Buddha say will hinder you from entering the meditative state. That's why you cannot meditate. And throughout the day, human beings got a lot of this problem. Before I explain this, I finish off yours first. So if you want to scratch, you tell the thought. You are my servant, you serve me, understand not? But you are the master, understand not? Your body serve you. Your mind serve you. They are like your tool. Yeah? And your vehicle. Vehicle means like this body. You want to go somewhere, it take you there, understand not? Like your car, it take you there. So this is a vehicle for your physical body. Then your mind is like a tool to help you understand things. To help you live life, understand not? So tool, T-O-O-L, means you use it, understand? Like a knife. How do you use the knife? You use it for appropriate, useful purpose. Cut fruits, shape veggie, do carving, or help you to do whatever function that tool is designed for. So likewise, you tell the thought, okay, Now I decide. You don't decide. Okay. Here on the scratch, I maintain mindfulness. I will slowly, mindfully move my hand and just scratch. Then as I scratch, I'm aware how that feeling changed. From itchiness, it become better because you actually put in a more strong tactile reaction. That's why it will help you temporarily do away with the itchiness. Yeah. But what is important is you have to understand that as long as the mental hindrance is there, it will continue to disturb you. So if you continue to label it as sleepiness or itchiness, then there is this dislike for this sensation. What you should have is wisdom. Wisdom means what? Wisdom means they are there because of certain reason. Okay? So when this itchiness arises or this sleepiness arises, then I recognize there is a mental hindrance. So what the Buddha teaches is very simple. He said, don't fight. Don't suppress. Don't do anything to it. The reason why the mental hindrance are there is because you lack the opposite five. This five is not there. These are called spiritual faculties that can allow you to understand spiritual teaching. And because you are new to this, you don't understand this, and you have not really cultivated this at all. That's why you don't have the ability to stop all this from coming out. But at least you know that this is lacking, that's why you have this. So what the Buddha says is, don't fight, don't suppress all this. If I don't fight, don't suppress, how can I overcome it? The worst is pain. You haven't experienced long sitting when there's a lot of pain until numb. That's why I say don't torture yourself unnecessarily. When there is pain, you must know how to deal with it. Otherwise, you'll torture yourself. Then the key thing about meditation is relax. You must relax. If you are too tense, pain will develop. Numbness will develop. Then your facial expression is very tense. Very tense. You can check all this. Means you are not mindful. You are just focusing, concentrating. Here you want to be calm. You want to be peaceful. You think that is meditation. That's where a lot of people got it wrong. But when you really understand, you just relax into it, silent, and don't fight it, don't suppress it. What happens is when there is no more negativity towards that sensation, means I tell myself, if my body has this condition, then it will have this type of feeling. I don't label it as itchy. I don't want to even call it by any name that is negative, even like pain. I don't want to label. That's why a lot of people, they were taught the wrong meditation. They say, got pain, got itchy? No. Pain, pain, pain. Oh, itchy, itchy, itchy. What are you doing? You are verbalizing. You are creating mental hindrance. Do you understand? If I don't label, means what? I'm at peace. This sensation is natural. But everybody who has that condition will have it. If you don't know how to relax, pain will be there. You understand? If you are too rigid, you focus, then your mind will send energy field in. Then all this will develop because you don't know how to relax. So the key is, you don't know how to relax, problem will arise. Then you feel sleepy is because you don't understand the importance of this meditation. That's why you don't have the virya. Virya is the zeal, the spiritual zeal or energy or tenacity to meditate. Mm. But sometimes it can also be because you are tired. Your body is tired. Then you are not trained in meditation. Then the moment you close your eye, the tendency is to be sleepy. You understand? So this is very natural. So all the new meditators who don't understand, they have this type of mental hindrance. And the worst thing about this mental hindrance is, throughout the day, because you don't have wisdom and understanding, you will arise the first two mental hindrances very often. You know what is sensual desire and ill will. You don't know. Sensual desire means you see something very pleasant you like. You desire that state. Ill will is like pain, itchiness you don't like. You want to reject. So every time you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactile feel something, your tendency is to react. Understand? Like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. When this mental hindrance arise, you are not peaceful already. And you know why you are not peaceful. Because you are preoccupied with the sensual thought. The thought about that sensual thing, like a pretty form. Understand? Then you are lost in thought already. Preoccupied with that thinking means you are not aware. That's why your mind cannot be silent. It will start to think. Then when you don't like that feeling also, the itchiness, the sleepiness and all that, your thought will be there. You are preoccupied with that. That's why you cannot be silent. You cannot be with the moment in the meditative state. Your mind is distracted, drawn away. So it throughout the day, every moment of seeing, smelling, hearing, tasting or feeling, you create this two mental hindrance. It becomes habit. Understand? You know it's habit. Habitual tendency. You every day also do that. Until it becomes a habit. Then how can you be peaceful? But throughout the day, you have this mental hindrance. Then sometimes you got problem in life. Your mind start to worry. Understand? Then you start to have fear. Then you confront problem. You don't know how to resolve them. Then you got this insecurity. You got this phobia, your past scars or memory and all those things. So all this is going to make your mind restless. You like full of restlessness. Because you cannot calm yourself down. Too much problem. A lot of things to worry. A lot of anxiety. Then sometimes fear, worry. So all this are due to your thought projection. Because your thought will project. What happened if people come to know? What happened if I cannot deliver? What happened if the doctor told me that I got this type of disease and all those things? So all these are real life situations. And this will arise. Then when you don't understand, there is doubt. You're not sure. What is going on? Then you recall through memory and thought, if people say my feng shui no good, maybe I must change my feng shui. You become gullible. You go and spend all the money and I tell you it's not going to work. Because what is important is your karma, not all those things. If you don't take care of karma, whatever you do, it will not work. Because your life entirely depends on karma. I will explain all those things later if I have the condition. So these first two, together with sleepiness, restlessness and doubt, these five, almost living beings who are not heedful, do not have the training of the mind, they will have them non-stop. If throughout the day you have them, then at night you want to come and meditate, I tell you, very difficult. That's why a lot of thought arise. Your mind becomes restless, then sleepy, then itchy, all those things will arise. But if you accept them for what they are, don't fight, don't suppress, don't try to do anything, just let it be. Yeah. Because this is a nature's condition. When I am not relaxed, I will have this. When I label it negatively, I will have ill will. This will be mental hindrance. Then my mind cannot become peaceful. It cannot enter the meditative state or inner peace, inner calmness, and inner way. So if I accept them without creating negative thought, then sati take over. Mindfulness take over. That's why I train you to be mindful of your in and out breath. I train you to feel and relax so that you don't think. When you feel and relax, there is no thought. You are aware. This sati is mindfulness or awareness. Just aware, no thought. And when you are aware, you are sensitive. You are attentive. And you can meditate. So when you are able to silence everything and just let things be without creating hindrance, sati take over. When this one take over, you feel very good. You can meditate. Yeah, it will bring about the condition. Your spiritual faculty will create condition for you to understand spiritual teaching, for you to develop the meditative state. Yeah, when the spiritual faculty is there, the mental hindrance is to be. And then you can meditate. Then you can be in that state of relaxed, silent, peaceful awareness. And the awareness will come by itself naturally. You don't have to do anything. When thought arises, it's because your habitual tendency created them. Through the heedless living throughout the day, all these thoughts arise because of mental hindrance. So when you understand this, you have to allow it time to stabilize. Understand or? Like anything, the candle or whatever is the same. You light until all the wax and the wick, no more. The flame cannot continue. You understand? So all this thought is the same. If you silence your mind and allow it to be, you don't resist it, don't force it, or don't try to do anything, means you don't send any more thought energy in. Then the very flowering of that thought is the very ending of that thought. Like your anger, your ill will, your sensual desire. You just let it flower. Don't feed it anymore. If you feed it, it will not end, I tell you. Oh, you don't believe me, you go and try in your daily life. If you see something very interesting, like maybe if you are a young person, you see pretty form, you get attracted, isn't it? And when you get attracted, a lot of thought will go in, isn't it? Lady also say, when you see a handsome form, why? Because that is the natural tendency of human behavior. Because our DNA is coded that way. We got this type of hormone inside the cell. So if you don't understand, the thought will create more and more of this craving and desire for you to actually get drawn to that thing. So that's why the Buddha say, first, there is only feeling. When you start to see something, initially there was nothing. The Buddha said, in the seeing, it's just the seeing consciousness. Nobody to see. Then when you become deluded, deceived by what you see, then that egoic mind come out and say, I see. You start to associate with the seeing. Then because of the I, this personality has desire, has craving, has emotion, has anger. That's why the greed, the hatred, that it has fear, the delusion. All this will appear because of the egoic mind that don't understand. So what happens is when you are preoccupied with that sensual experience, it will draw you. Yeah. Then you want it to be repeated. You want it to last. Then sometimes when you don't have the condition, the Buddha say, from feeling it becomes craving. Craving means desire, but not strong yet. Then from desire, craving, it becomes grasping. You grasp at it. It means there is very strong desire, like you become lustful already. Then that's how the transgression happened. Then the Buddha say, upon craving, grasping arise. When grasping arise, they become that thing, the lustful thing. So becoming arise. When becoming arise, you take birth. That's how people arise, that transgression, to rape people, to do a lot of funny things. Because you acted out of it. Transgression means you acted out of it. So this is how your mind functions. If you feed it continuously through feeling into the craving thought, the wrong thought, it will hold you and it will make you miserable. Whether positive or negative, it's the same. That's how the teaching come about, is it? These are all mental hindrances. These are wrong thoughts that will condition your suffering, your misery. So when you are in this state, you are not peaceful. You cannot meditate. And you will entangle yourself with a lot of suffering and misery. But this will condition evil roots. Evil roots are the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So sensual desire is positive craving. Okay? So the first evil root of greed. The second one is dislike, ill will, aversion, second evil root, greed and hatred. Then all this restlessness, doubt and sleepiness are from your delusion. So this will condition evil root that make you evil and cause your karmic negativity, your karma to fail. So in meditation, we are to reverse this and cultivate this. But this one, not many people know how to cultivate. That's why the puja is to help you to cultivate faith, sadha, then virya. Then meditation is to train your mind to be in the state of mindfulness, awareness, silent, without thought. Then stabilize it through anapanasati. Yeah. Then after that, carry this mind state that is trained into your daily life. So that this heedless way of living, that condition your mental hindrance will cease to be. If you can be in the midst of life, having mindfulness and samadhi which is the collectedness of mind and the unwearying mind. Means every moment you see something, your mind is collected and unwearying. It does not get drawn. Understand or not? You want to know, you can know. But it will just stay there. It will not develop all those craving and delusion. It will not attach, it will not cling. Where the Buddha said, when you attach, you cling, you finally end up suffering. Where these are your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant mind state. And both lead to suffering. Because when you cannot get what you want after that, you suffer. Because all things doesn't last. Like the good thing. After a while, if you change, you become miserable. Yeah? Like good health. Then suddenly, get sick. Or accident, injury. Oh, then you become miserable. Yeah? You want your body to always be in good condition. Don't get old, don't get sick, and don't die. But the reality is the opposite. So if you attach, you will have problem. So like, if you dislike that thing, you will develop fear, understand, and phobia. And if, let's say that thing is the wrong thought, they keep on coming back to haunt you, you will go into depression. And not only the wrong thought, though, sometimes your scars of memory, phobia, whatever you experience in life, this will become deep fear, you know, that you accumulate in your brain. You know. Then when there is condition, when that person or that situation, that trigger of that fear suddenly appear, through memory you recall that intense phobia or fear or scars of memory immediately come out. You will experience it in life. Yeah. And this is what memory is all about. Memory is not for you to keep all this psychological memory, which is rubbish, that will condition your suffering and misery. Memory is for you to use, like your thought. Okay? Use it properly because they serve you. So if the user of thought has wisdom, it will not allow thought to become wrong thought. So things that will torment me and make me miserable, like what Byron Katie say, don't believe the thought. Because the thought that is wrong or negative, you think that thought, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation will rise. And that will be the cause of suffering. Where you attach to it, you hold on to it, and you worry about it, even though it's not a reality. So all this, you're not supposed to recall. It may be there. But when you recognize that these are wrong thoughts, then it's just like what Byron Katie has said. If I think that thought, I become miserable. If I don't think this thought, I am at peace. I got no more problem. Then why do I go and think that thought? Do you understand? Then you ask yourself, it's only a thought. And what is thought? Consciousness arises and passes away. How come it has such power to make you miserable, fearful, until you develop panic attack or even enter depression? It's because you give meaning. You project your thought and you recall through memory. And this one conditions intense memory phobia. So these are all not important. Psychological memory is not for you to remember, like a computer. Random access memory means what? You need only you access, understand? Not? Don't need, leave it there. That's why a computer got no emotion, understand? Not? You can ask the computer, execute. They just execute. Yeah, they got no emotion, no feeling. Why can't you like computer? But if you become computer, okay, you got no more life, understand? Not? You are not sensitive, you don't have love, and you don't have the good emotion to help you. So what is important is you must use it with wisdom, with understanding. So what is memory for? Eh? For you to? What is memory for? For you to remember all the important things. Like your house address, understand or not? Your name, how you sign your check. Then when you study the formula, science, maths, that one you use thought, understand or not? Use memory. But your fear, your psychological memory, why do you go and remember them? Your scars of memory, your phobia. These are not for you to remember, understand or not? These are life experiences. The moment you experience, let it be. Why should I accumulate? Your accumulation of experience is your memory. If I don't accumulate this true wisdom, I know this torment me, I forget about it. Then you tell yourself, it's only a thought. How come it has such power? It will not have such power. That's why Bhai and Kathy came to know. If I don't think this thought, I'm at peace. You know what she said after that? Freedom from suffering or depression or panic attack is just as simple as that. And everybody can do it. Everybody can do it. So what you need to understand is this memory is tied up with your consciousness, your thought process. So if you are wise, you understand this, you don't allow this to arise. Means, what for keep all this rubbish? It's only a thought. You got no power over you. Understand? It arise, let it arise. Don't go and worry about it. When you worry about it, you intensify it. Understand? Or not? You feed it with more thought energy. That's why that fear intensifies. And it won't cease. If you are a meditator, very simple. What you do is relax, silent. Next time the panic attack come, or the phobia come, or whatever come, the depressive thought, you just silence your mind. Let it be, like meditation. You realize within less than 3 minutes, it will cease, completely cease. And that is because you are still not really very, very conversant with meditation. If you are conversant with meditation, you understand the moment you silence your mind, it ceases. Straight away it ceases. And you have the wisdom, it can't even arise. Understand? In the midst of life. Cannot. Memory also nothing. Stop there. Because it knows. It's just a thought. Passing thought. Let it pass. Finish. And it doesn't proliferate. Doesn't continue. Human beings' problem is they panic first. They worry. Because the thought project. Last time I had this. Understand? Then the fear intensifies. Then when you are fearful, what happens is your mind becomes restless. When it becomes restless, you cannot enter the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness. That's why you cannot be in the meditative state. So don't panic, don't become restless, don't go and worry, don't go and doubt. All this will create misery for you. So what must you do? You must have faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Well, I understand this teaching. I'm not going to waver anymore. Understand? Then I determine with virya to train my mind, to meditate, to develop the mindfulness, the stability of it, so that in future when I experience the same sense experience, I will not be affected. I will not be afflicted. My mind will not stir anymore. Because it's just a thought. And what is a thought? Consciousness arises and pass away. It cannot harm you. It cannot eat you. Understand? It cannot cause you anything. But why do you allow it to have that power over you? Because it's supposed to be your servant, your tool for you to use. And you allow it to attack you and make you so miserable. It's like that knife. You use it to cut yourself, harm yourself, hurt yourself, and hit out at others using wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action. That is foolishness, isn't it? That is not understanding the purpose of thought, isn't it? Do you understand? The thought, like I say here, your thought is like a tool for you to use. So use it properly. Use it to arise the right thought, the love, the compassion, the kindness, the generosity, the gratitude. Can earn, understand? Then you will have a lot of joy. A lot of peace, a lot of clarity in your mind, serenity, tranquility. Then you have a lot of good energy inside you. You become so different. Then life, you look at it, why am I so stupid? Every day worry and project my thought and creating my own suffering, misery. I don't have to. I hold the key to my own life destiny. True or not? True or not? To be happy or to be unhappy is entirely your choice, isn't it? Because you decide your life, isn't it? Don't tell me you don't know how to choose. Choose to be happy. But the reality is, why are human beings, most of them, not happy? Suffering. Because they don't have this teaching. Not to say they don't know how to choose. If they have this teaching, they will know how to choose, I tell you. That's why what you need to understand is this teaching. When you understand this teaching, you will know how to choose. I choose to be happy. I choose to be heedful. I want to train my mind. That's it. Finish. I know how to relax, silent. Then I am peaceful. This is my true mind. My true mind got none of all this fear, worry, anxiety. These are when the mind stir through ignorance. When the mind has delusion, it projects its thought and panic. It stir. So the stirring of the mind or the reaction to life situation create the fear, the anger. And these are not intrinsic within your true mind. These are conditioned arising mind state born of delusion, anger, desire, craving. Because these are all delusion, wrong view. When you have right view means you know life is governed by a set of law called nature's law. So when I understand how nature's law works, I understand life. After this, I will give you the seminal book for Eric's friend. You read through, you will understand the seminal book. It explains most of the things that I mentioned tonight. So you understand. But in a very summarized form. So you read through anything you don't understand, you can ask. Then the other thing about human beings' problem is, when they got problem, only they look for answers. So that's why that night when we go through, we try to come out with the reason why people seek religion or spiritual understanding to solve their so-called problem. So the first one is what? To be what? That was what Eric chose. Yeah, he said he wants to be happy. The first Thursday class he gave. Then Kiat Hun say he want to have peace of mind. So these two, many people seeking, isn't it? Yes, peace is very difficult to come by. Happiness or joy is even more difficult to come by when you have a lot of problem haunting you. Or when you are confronted with a lot of life situations that are not so conducive, that may not go your way. Then the second one is to understand life and its meaning so that you know how to live. And this is the most important. That's why this teaching can give you all this answer. It can make you happy. It can make you peaceful. It can let you understand life and its meaning. So it's only after you have the understanding of life then you can live life. If you don't understand life, how can you live life? True or not? Then the other one is to overcome one's problem. This one is the most common one. Most people have this. And you know what are the problems of life or not? The Buddha described 8 reality or condition in life. If you confront them without wisdom, you will suffer. The first 4 Chinese people are always exposed to, but they don't like this 14th one. If you talk to the older Chinese people, they say, choy, 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 don't talk about death. Don't talk about getting sick and getting old. They don't like. 生老病死, means birth, always sickness and death. They don't like one. But these are reality. Sooner or later, you have to confront. So getting old, especially more elderly people, they will know what is it like. Because getting old leads to a lot of problems. As you get old, like I mentioned just now, your senses fail you. Your health will fail you. A lot of the parts inside will not be in proper condition anymore. Wear and tear is not so bad. When it breaks down, it's the worst. When the parts break down, like your heart, suddenly heart attack or stroke, then your brain dead. First thing, you become vegetable. Or you suffer a stroke. Then the brain affected. Or kidney failure, you cannot process what you want to process. Then people entangle themselves with a lot of other problems like getting old, memory loss, dementia. It's very frightening. Then rheumatism. Rheumatism also not easy to endure. Then after that, they got a lot of this, what they call pain, back pain. Then frozen shoulder, and migraine, and a lot of other things that come with getting old and getting sick. Then sometimes very traumatic disease, like HIV, cancer. Then there are a lot of other very severe, rare diseases. Some are hereditary. Then the silent killer also quite a lot nowadays. You got diabetic. You got what they call stroke, heart attack, and all those things. Then the other thing that can cause you suffering and misery is your relationship problem. Understand? When you have relationship problem, when your girlfriend, boyfriend don't like you, decided to break off, or married couple end up in divorce and all those things. So this can be very traumatic. They force separation from loved one because of poverty or war or disaster. Nature's disaster, sometimes during earthquake, tsunami or whatever. Building collapse and all those things. Then the other problem is career, work-related. I realize nowadays the young people full of stress. And I cannot blame them because nowadays your stress level is too high. Because IT, information technology, the way you all work, I was told one day you can get yourself involved with hundreds of emails. True or not?
Yeah.
Personal one also a lot. During my time, I happened to be a government servant first initially. They say we are very well paid, you know why? 1 month, we sign less than 30 letters. Understand? You know, last time, send one letter, go in, 3 days, sometimes 1 week, never come to the engineer's office. Because postal send. Then there's a clerk open up, trace the file, put in the file, send to the big boss. Big boss got time, see, sign down, then go to the next boss. Then the next boss pass down to the next one. By the time I receive, at least 1 week, sometimes 2 weeks. Then I draw a reply, send up to boss, approve. That boss say, you check with the next boss. Then check with the next boss. Finally approve. Prepare the final draft copy, send for typing, wait for KSU to send up. Then after the typing, check, got mistake, send out again. Then after that, sign. After sign, send out. Again, postman, sometimes you're lucky, 3 days you receive. Sometimes never receive. Then they come and check, what happened? Hey, I replied to you already. Where got? Open up the file. Oh, you go and photostat. Then the office go back. Ayo, why nobody receive? The secretary also cannot fire him. So this is how we work. So slow. Things were so slow. But consider already, some people also still got depression, even under that condition. So nowadays, for you all, I heard my son and my daughter told me, Daddy, one day, a few hundred emails, sometimes got to answer one. Because nowadays, meeting, not like our time, prepare minutes, send out, typing, correct, then after that, only send out. So 1 week, we got one meeting. Most of the time, it's one meeting. The rest is all impromptu one, circular and all that. We think it's a lot already. Well, in that meeting can be 3-4 hours. But nowadays, my children told me, you driving also, they will send you the whatever WhatsApp and all those things. And you have to reply. He said, no choice. Every day, have to reply. He said, got no time to become sad. He said, he said, I got time to worry about all this. He said, everything is so fast. Then sometimes, my daughter also told me, especially the project are very urgent. That like they got this, what they call migration problem. IT, you all know. When the data is being migrated, you know what happened? A lot of error come out. All sorts of error come out. And you have to fix it. And how you fix it? You are given specific deadline, milestone. And I tell you, this is what my daughter tell me, Daddy, where got time to fix? Just take out all the irrelevant data, put aside, fix it first. Understand? Then later only on your own, solve it, resolve it. Otherwise, you cannot finish. We have too much problem because the interfacing and a lot of things, the new program, the old program, the migration, sometimes it doesn't work. The IT is not like jigsaw puzzle, no. Just put it, it work one. No. Then a lot of migration, like the billing for telco company, which my daughter was in, they got a lot of plans on. And the plan keep on changing on. The input, the data, all different on. So how can you cope? That's why initially the billing all funny on. Especially in there. Then the input of data also. Sometimes the data go in wrong. Whatever come out also wrong. Here, here. So I don't blame young people. You have a lot of stress. It's because our era is very different. High tech, information technology. So we have all this what they call data, which is very fast. And now this data comes so fast. There's an e-commerce, everything. Sometimes we don't have to remember how we sign. No more signature required. Everything is QR code. Oh. Then later on, I think you don't even need to hold cash. Society will become more or less cashless. But we still want to receive ang bao. They already in China, no more ang bao. They send it to you in the WhatsApp form ang bao inside. The money already in your phone. So you go and use. You don't see physical money anymore. And later on, everything is virtual. You know what is virtual? No? Virtual love, virtual sex, everything virtual. You don't do it physically anymore. Where they say you are HIV, problematic. So everything stimulate your mind only. That's why when you go through this era, you don't have the dhamma, I tell you, you can go cuckoo, I tell you. So the teaching is evergreen, very relevant, and it can last for very long. No matter what the era is with this teaching, your mind has clarity. You can develop the training of your mind to meditate until you realize your true mind. Your true mind has none of all these hindrances. None of all this fear, worry, anxiety is cause of merit. It sees things clearly. It understands things clearly. It is not deceived by the phenomenal world. Your senses will not deceive you anymore. That's why with that type of understanding, you like all of a sudden, everything becomes clear to you. Then you do your work much, much better, more efficient. You don't have to worry about things. You try your best, understand? Try your best means what? Huh? As long as you are sincere and truthful, you have tried your best. That's it, finish. Well, you're only an employee, understand? The owner of the company worry more than you. Because I have a few friends, they are owner of companies. And do you know what they say? Every month, like, very fast now. Suddenly, payday already. So cash flow, everywhere got to look for cash flow. So he said 2 weeks before, he will check with the secretary and the account section, which are the company that owe them money on. Go and chase. Go and make phone call. Is the check ready? Collect. Ask the office boy to go and collect. They got no time to wait for them to post. And now, different. Bank into my account. But some not so sincere, you know what they do. Bang in already, what? You didn't receive. Then 2 days later, you bang in wrong account. Sorry. One word only, sorry. No invoice, they tell you. No what? Delivery note. Oh, no delivery note. Didn't receive. Then the fellow who signed, received one, the signature not there. No rubber stamp. Now they don't care. They say QR code. You don't have QR code, no goods. Understand? No? Last time we all, our time, LC. You know what is LC? Letter of credit. But Northern State one very dangerous. LC. You say LC. Oh, you have a lot of people. Wow, very vulgar. You say, why you say LC? Because they every time scold people using LC. LC, LC, the LC you. So a lot of things during my time, your time, all different. And this thing is going to be there. That's why you don't blame technology. Understand? Not? What is important is the user of technology. If the user don't have wisdom, deluded, technology become a danger. Understand? Then technology become evil. Because the user of technology is evil. But if the user of technology is wise, with understanding, then technology serves the world. Like Jack Ma's policy. Whatever new product he introduced, if it's not for the good of the world and the society, he will not introduce. He said it's not about profit anymore, because they have enough profit. So everything they introduce is a synergy. That's why their e-commerce is very successful. We weed out all those people who cheat, deceitful, not honest. They weed it out. The system will weed it out. Like Uber. The driver will behave up. Understand? Because they allow the customer to rate you. Understand? After they rate you, three rating, they will call you up. Understand? Then they will dismiss you. So you yourself will have to buck up. Improve yourself. Be honest. Be sincere. Then give service. Be gentle. Be pleasant. It's all about Noble Eightfold Path actually. Right speech, right thought, and all those things. Then change yourself, personality-wise, character-wise. So when you improve yourself through all this self-regulation, then you know this is good business, big business. You have no need to go around like last time, taxi driver, look for passenger. So. Now, with the app, if you pass to be the Uber driver or Grab driver, you will have business. And it's non-stop. It only depends on how many hours you want to work a day. And it's flexi. That's why this thing has revolutionized the way we live our life, the way we make money. And there's a lot of job that is out of the 9 to 5 right now. So, like, the case of Uber is a very good self-regulating app. So it is self-regulating until it is so convenient. Do you know, if you are a working person, especially young people, you need to own a car. You need to pay your installment, road tax, insurance, then petrol. All this you already pay. If let's say you do extra income as an Uber driver or a Grab taxi or whatever, it's extra money to supplement whatever you have to do with it. Do you know a taxi driver, when they apply for a taxi license, it costs them money, you know? Then that taxi they have to buy is an investment. Then after that, they also got maintenance and all those things. Then they don't have this app to find passenger. No. You know where they go or not? I still see all these taxi. They go to LRT station, line up there, the taxi, wait for passenger. Sometimes you see them at all the various mall or what, line up there like that, because they didn't subscribe for the apps. Understand? So how many passengers can you carry even a day, let's say you work for 10 hours? Because one passenger after that, you got to go back and queue. Previously, I took some taxi during my olden days. The taxi driver tell me, he said, "Cik Tio, susah lah sekarang." Here I happen to be one of the Malay drivers. He said, "Tiap-tiap kali datang, kena queue." If you don't queue also, they have their special company, you know, those type of company chosen by the government. They no need license, no need anything because it's their company. So they hire the driver, then they got the first choice. They can sell ticket there also. You got the queue there. Then they now send you to the other place, difficult to find one. Don't know, level 5 or basement and all those areas. So this is where the problem. Then when all these apps technology come in, it changed the way people operate and do business. So you have to keep abreast with technology. You have to change with technology. You cannot keep to the old way. If you don't have the ability to accord and flow with whatever that arises, you will have problem with not only life, even with yourself. Because you find that it's too stressful to cope. and a lot of things is like not within your reach anymore. Then you see people moving so fast. But these are the people who has virya, understand? This spiritual faculty is actually common sense. Now I explain, I got a bit of time. Why is it common sense? You see, like faith. If it's for mundane, non-spiritual thing, it's also a very, very supportive attribute. If you have confidence, means there is a saying, when you are confident, half the battle is won. You heard of this or not? And when you are confident of doing well in your exam, means that confidence will actually help you. But if you are not prepared for your exam, what happened? You got a lot of fear, worry, anxiety. Your mind becomes restless. That's why no peace. And this one go in show fear one, etc. Because you are not prepared. So when you are prepared, you are confident. Self-confident. Half the battle is won. Then virya is literally the spiritual zeal or tenacity to be successful. You work towards it. They say if there's a will, there's a way. That's why when you have spiritual zeal, the spiritual tenacity to go this way, to improve yourself, to develop all the strength, you must work on your strength and weaknesses. Then improve whatever weakness you have, so that you are an all-rounder, so that you have this spiritual zeal or this tenacity to really work hard, diligently, to climb the whatever corporate ladder or career that you are interested in, or to be successful in whatever field that you are interested in. Even the sports people, they also do this. They work very hard. That's like confidence together with diligence. Then sati is mindfulness. Mindfulness is awareness. When you become very, very mindful, means you don't work with the thought anymore. It's like people who train themselves very well in sports. They become so graceful. And I thought, graceful means no thought involvement. They just execute. Like badminton. You just execute. You go. But if you got to slowly see and hit the shuttlecock, you are not with the moment. You are using your thought, try to be mindful of the shuttlecock. And most of the time, you miss. Or you hit wrongly. But when you are very well trained, no need to think on. You just hold your shuttlecock, you just know where to hit. Well, you are so skillful. Skillful means you can decide where to send your shuttlecock. Means it's a trained, very well trained person. I want to serve high, you go high. I want to serve baseline, you go baseline. You want to serve low, serve low. Then you want to return any shot, whatever you hit to me because of my skill, I can return. And this is mindfulness. Until the thought doesn't interfere. So when you are very skillful, you can execute it very well. Then you no need to think. Possible. Yes, that's why all these are from your past life. That's why a certain type of people, like a child, if you're observant, if you bring them to some places, especially nowadays in the mall, then if they hear the music, they got drawn to it. Sometimes they go and listen without you knowing it. And you see them attentively listening. And then you know this one in the past, he has this type of interest, talent. It's like you let her go in and listen, she will know how to play on. Then you buy her one, she will learn very fast on. So these are skills that people train. Like mindfulness. I understand it on my own, this life. Nobody teach me. And I learn it very fast because in the past, this nature has done it before. So even when I play badminton, that's why I know. When you are very skillful, you never think on. It's the reflex action at the moment. You know where to send. So your mind is the same. If you have trained your mind, means what? It will listen to you, understand? No? I want to be silent, I want to be peaceful, I want to be still, it will stay like that. No movement. If you want to be aware, you will be aware. If you want to think, you think. Otherwise, it's quiet. There is a trained mind. The untrained mind is heedless. Think a lot. It don't bother about you. You want to meditate, it creates thought for you. You want to be peaceful, it's not going to listen to you. It's just like you train your dog. At first you say, sit. You think the dog is going to listen to you. He don't even know what you are trying to tell him. He look at you. Then he bark at you. Then next time you say, sit, you show him. You squat down. Oh. Then even the dog will know. Okay, sit means squat down. So he will squat down. After he squat down, you feed him something. Understand? Then he learn. Oh, I know. Next time, sit. If I follow instruction, I listen to you, I get feed. Understand? The dog happy, the owner also happy. But every time he don't listen to you, you use a stick and whack him. Then he will know. As a dog, he learn. Understand? Your mind is the same. Understand? Your mind also can be trained. Train means what? If you think the wrong thought, it suffer. You tell the mind, you won't think that thought again, like the dog, you will be punished. If you don't think that thought, you listen to me, the user of thought that has wisdom, you are always happy, peaceful, well-fed, understand? Your consciousness is always peaceful, tranquil, still. So which will you prefer? The thought also like the dog, they will prefer to listen to the owner, understand? That's how you harmonize with your thought. You make friends with your thought, and they serve you well. But if you go against your thought, you believe your thought, you become miserable. Understand? Well, you are supposed to decide, not the thought. If you have the wisdom, you will decide appropriately. But if you are heedless, the thought cannot listen to you, understand? If you are heedless, you create problem for the thought. So the thought together with you, both also heedless, both also deluded, create havoc for the world and yourself. Understand? That's how fear, all these things arise. Panic attack arise. All the wrong thoughts create the suffering, the misery, the projection of thought, the fear, the worry, the anxiety. Then the memory, keep all the psychological memories, scars of memory, the worry, the anxiety, the sorrow. Then all this is going to haunt you. Your thought is respond to all this memory, this rubbish that you hold. Your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system, your tradition, everything you accumulate in your memory. So you use this memory to act because you create thought from this memory. Thought is respond to all this memory. So these are the memory from your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your views and your opinion, which is not the truth. This is your belief system, your conditioning. Then all this is acting according to fear, acting according to worry, anxiety, selfishness, emotional negativity, views and opinion. Means you don't really act with wisdom. You don't understand what life is all about. So here, up here is very important. Acting according to understanding or wisdom is through action. Whereas most people act according to memory. It's not acting at all up there. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. So always remember, don't act from memory. Don't panic. Don't recall through memory, your scars of memory, your phobia, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your views and your opinion. All these are not going to help you. All these are going to make you miserable. So you should act according to wisdom or understanding that you have developed through the meditation. And the meditation as taught by the Buddha is the Noble Eightfold Path. This is how you act. You act according to Noble Eightfold Path. And this is about right action. Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, and right mindfulness, and right samadhi. When you have all these eight perfected, you become enlightened. You have the noble quality of enlightenment, because these are all noble quality. Enlightenment are called Arya, noble ones. People who are very noble in the way they live their life, in the way they understand life through their right view, right understanding. Then the way they conduct themselves, communicate with the world. That's why they have right thought, right speech, right action. And they live their life accordingly. And they understand the human being, the form and mind. This is a tool and a vehicle for you to come. So use it correctly. Use it with wisdom. Do not abuse it. Do not harm it. Do not use it for wrong thing, to cause suffering and misery to the world and yourself. So all this understanding can be developed once you understand this teaching. But it's not something that you can understand overnight. You need to put in effort. Put in the perseverance, the diligence, develop the faith to read out, understand this teaching, then put it into practice. Then only you can see the benefit, reap the benefit of what this teaching can give to you. So basically, the teaching is very, very beautiful and very simple. And when you have an open mind to just listen attentively and try it out and find out for yourself whether it serves you or not, it helps you or not. If it helps you, you got nothing to lose there. If it doesn't help you, the worst thing is you have wasted some time trying to understand it and develop it. So no harm giving it a try. But using your logical mind, you should understand, based on what I explained, that the tremendous benefit that can come from understanding this teaching. And this is more important than anything else in life. To me, if you don't understand this, your life will not benefit you, because you will be going around with all your problems. And you don't understand what is memory. You keep on accumulating all the psychological memory, all the rubbish inside there. And you carry this rubbish. That's why you become heedless. The Buddha said, the heedless are as if dead. You know why? Even though you are still alive, conscious of life, but you are not living life. Because he said, you don't have mindfulness, you don't have awareness, you don't have clarity of mind, you don't understand life. You get yourself into big trouble. That's why he said you are as if dead. I mean, spiritually, you don't stand a chance. As far as enlightenment is concerned, you don't stand a chance. So to have that chance, he said, you must be heedful. Heedful means ever mindful. When you are ever mindful, your mind has clarity. Your mind don't have the hindrance. The spiritual faculties are there. Heedless means the mental hindrance are there. And you think a lot. You worry a lot. Wow. Oh, yours also sound, huh? Mine also sound. So the Google app, very good. Now you can talk to the Google app. Wake me up at 8. Yeah, wake you up at 8. So we learn something new from Sui'an. Then Kok Lun also taught us. He said, can, all this can. So now I start to develop the understanding of this modern technology. That's why you don't fear them. Then you will know their beauty, their benefit. It's like this teaching of the Buddha. Don't go and worry, ayo, this one, 2,000 over years one, learn for what? Obsolete already. But this is different. This is evergreen, never obsolete. Got one. Yeah, heedful, ever mindful. Oh, H-E-E-D. Oh, here, yeah. This word. You must understand this. Because the Buddha said, this is the most important. Before he died, he told the monk, strive on with this, heedfulness. To be heedful is to be ever mindful, to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is Noble Eightfold Path. So when you train your mind to be mindful, then stabilize it with anapanasati to become ever mindful. Means throughout the day, not only in the meditative state, you are ever mindful. Means you are always aware without thought. And that can be done. That nature, that true mind is always there, aware, without thought. All this thinking, the thought, they are dependent, originating, conditioned out from that nature. They are not intrinsic to the true mind. So this one, heedfulness is very important. You have to train your mind to be mindful. Means most of the time just aware, not lost in thought. Then when you can have it, then you stabilize it until it is always there. And then the Buddha said, the heedful never die. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Means you will not be born again. Means you can become enlightened. We are the heedful, they never die anymore. Yeah. Never die means no need to go through rebirth, no need to come back. Because you can have the condition to become enlightened. So these are the books you go back. Yeah, you slowly read. The first one is a seminar book. Then the rest are meditation. And the brown book also can give that. So yeah, the essence of the Buddha's teaching. The Brother Sia and Nancy's house, Dana. That one also quite good. Okay, we better end. So you got any question, you can maybe ask next Thursday. Next Thursday. You can write it down if you want to, or you WhatsApp Suyan, then he will forward to me. Then we can discuss it. Then if we got time, maybe I will go through the previous short note of the last Thursday. Then the good thing is, one of the Kayamita just wrote me an email today. She transcripted the talk, the Thursday talk that you came, 28 December. No, no. 28 December. Oh, you didn't come. January the 4th only you come. But he transcribed the 28th of December. 4th. Cannot be. He came and see me on the 11th. Yeah. No. 20th only he text to you 1 week later on the 13th. No, 13 he came and see me. For 11 he didn't attend. 11 he didn't attend. So 28 and 4 he attended. 28 and 4. No, 28 and 4. You attended 2 Thursday classes. And then he was on the 30th, so it's 4 and 11 that he missed the 18th. Cannot be, 11 he was not here. Oh yeah, you missed the 18th. Yeah, you missed the 18th, correct, sorry. So you missed your 18th, So 4th and 11th. But he transcribed the 28th one, which is also very good. The 28th one is also about memory thing and honest thing. She find it very good. So she wrote to me. She said she has done it. So I will go through the editing. Then after that, if it come out as a book, you read through, it will help you. It will help you. Then all these talks are recorded. You go to the website, brotherteo.com. You go in Thursday class. They are all there. You can download and listen. Otherwise, the Dropbox, sometimes I was told, it breaks. Then sometimes not stable. Somewhere stop, then it jump back to the beginning again. So you will have problem. Okay? So this is something that you all can, maybe on your own, go in and develop the understanding so that you don't have to wait till Thursday class for your understanding to develop. That you read through, it will help you. The next time you come, I don't have to repeat a lot of these things. We save a lot of time. Then we straight away go into the teaching. So the 2 over hour of sharing can become a lot more meaningful. And you learn more. But it's okay. We are initially got new people. We need to maybe go through the teaching again. And for the older people, it's like a revision for you. And this type of understanding is not easy. It takes time. But you have your path. You learn very fast. And you will progress very fast. Then the more important thing is, you are totally new to Buddhism, that is the best. Clean slate. You don't have all the views and opinion of the teaching before. Then you listen attentively. You learn very fast. And for you, you can relate very fast. Yeah, you went through a lot of this reality that was discussed. Like you say, direct hit. Direct hit. After the second Thursday class, everything you say was like direct hit inside. You say, it's all about my life, my problem, and all those things. So these are the benefits that can come about. You not only have inner peace, inner well-being, clarity of mind, you can also develop the wisdom, the understanding, and make you more efficient, make you understand life and reduce your suffering, your misery. And when your suffering and misery is less, you will have more happiness, more joy, more peacefulness of mind. Then as you change the way you live your life, your merits, you will develop them. Then you can invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for you to progress along your cultivation, have a beautiful life. Then whatever you want, you aspire, it will come. Because if you are sincere, you have the understanding. All this follow nature's law is within reach. Okay, we better end. Oh, sorry. Almost 7-8 minutes after 10:30. So we will share merits, transfer merit, then we can end. This is called closing puja. You turn to page 15. I think it's on page 15. We jump a bit. From first paragraph, we go to fourth paragraph. Okay. We recall to mind all the things that we have developed over the past 2 hours or so. The wholesomeness, the merits that we have developed through listening to the Dhamma, straightening our views, then rejoicing, keeping our precept, meditating, then paying respect to the great beings. Then we now share merit, transfer merit, and make our aspiration. We will share merits with the devas first. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sapasampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamina mami pala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yāvā nivāna pātiyā sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, I rejoice. You all can pay respect to the Buddha. Then we can end.
Class. before the Chinese New Year, so next week, February the 1st, it's not a holiday yet, so
yeah.
The class is on.
Yeah.
Then February the 8th, man.
There is some food. I think you all can have some food after if you want to. They brought along, and all these are their offering, so you can have them. Mm.